I'm joined by Jeremy Donovan, one of the most anticipated First Nations speakers at the International Conference on Thinking, taking place in Melbourne between the 7th and the 11th of July. The conference promises thought-provoking innovation, creative and critical thinking, and transformative ideas in the context for the greater good as we look to the future. Jeremy, first of all, thanks for joining us and welcome to NITV Radio.
Thanks for having me. I love the opportunity to get to speak to NITV. It's a very important airwave for our Melbourne.
Before we delve into the conference, it's a very important event, but it's happening right in the middle of NIDOC week. I can't help but just ask you a reflection on the significance of NIDOC week before we delve into the conference.
NIDOC week is one of the most significant weeks of the year, especially for brothers and sisters, you know, that have similar passions to myself, that work in similar fields that I am working in. It's probably one of the craziest times of the year, along with Reconciliation Week. But it's a week where we really get to showcase the absolute beauty that exists within Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture here in Australia. And we get to do it on so many different platforms, whether it's a conference like the International Conference of Thought, or whether it's in community, in school, or within corporate Australia. There's significant opportunities that are presented throughout this week, and we really get to showcase our culture. And one of the biggest messages that I always carry through the week of NAIDOC Week and the week of Reconciliation Week is that as Aboriginal people, we are Aboriginal 365 days a year. We don't get to choose when we are and when we're not. And I wouldn't choose when I am and when I am, when I'm not. And so getting businesses especially to celebrate Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture throughout the entire year, not just waiting for these 2 weeks. And, you know, with the significance of NAIDOC Week, you know, with the theme of keep the fire burning, it's a very powerful theme because, you know, it reflects on each individual. How do we keep the fire burning? And that is maintaining a relationship to our culture. But for me, especially, it's inspiring the young people around me to connect with culture, but to connect with people and to grow into whatever they want to grow into.
Wow, that's a very, very powerfully said. Going into the conference now, as a Kukuyalanji and Gumba Jirman, how do you envision integrating traditional Indigenous wisdom with modern thinking strategies?
You know, I think every time I get the opportunity to stand on a stage or sit down with a group of people, I'm sharing a cultural teaching because our culture has existed through sitting down and sharing in story. And so in the way that I'm maintaining that connection to culture, no matter what, you know, sort of, you know, times have evolved in terms of we're sitting in corporate institutions or in convention centers, but the teaching framework hasn't changed. We're sitting down and there is a shared learning experience where it has to be two-way. And so, you know, every time I get to stand on stage, I think it's an incredible privilege. I think of the people that enabled me to get, you know, have this opportunity, that, you know, the great freedom fighters that fought for the rights of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in this country. They gave me permission to stand on the stage and have a voice. You know, going to a conference like this, I get the opportunity to stand on the stage and share thoughts that are based around what is significantly important to me as a Kukuyalanji man, Gumbangya man today. And how that, you know, can be, I guess, nurtured throughout a conference like this, because, you know, there's some really big messages that need to be told at the moment. The theme of the conference is we are on the edge of what? And I think, you know, just the nature of that title is very provocative because we are on the edge of so many different things in this country, whether we are reflecting from a cultural point of view, or one of the biggest points of conversation that I am talking about and advocating about at the moment is about masculinity and about, you know, rebuilding the strongest version of men. And, you know, one of the businesses that I operate with three other very good brothers of mine is a business called Primal Warrior, which is dedicated to rebuilding the frame of what a man is. So looking at the spiritual health, the mental health, the physical health, and the emotional health. And then that leads into better financial health, because you only have to open the newspapers or flick through the news on your phone or whatever your device is. And we have a tragedy in this country that needs to be spoken about, and that is about family violence and domestic violence. There are too many women losing their lives at the hands of men, and that is too many broken men that are taking the lives of women. And it's a tragedy that I refuse to remain silent on today.
And given your experience working with young Indigenous men at risk, what innovative approaches do you believe are crucial for empowering Black youth to overcome adversity and embrace their identity?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the biggest things that young men need, especially, I mean, let's break it down. Young men need strong men leaders. And when there's no men, it's, you know, when there's no strong men around, you have negative influence or negative role models. You know, I look back at the life that I lived as a young person, you know, where I was incarcerated, I was in and out of detention center, I was a very broken young man, and it's because the role models that I had around me were negative role models. You know, and it wasn't until I got around people that would elevate me and lift me and inspire me that I was able to become the best version of myself. You know, and still today, I am constantly seeking out mentors, elders that allow me to grow, to continue being a better version of myself. And so, you know, when I look at the crisis that young people have today, it's a tragedy because the same challenges they are facing today were the same challenges I faced 30 years ago. You know, there's a broken system in terms of our residential care. Our foster care system is completely broken, I believe, whereby, you know, we're not nurturing these young kids that just need love. They need boundaries and they need hope. And the moment someone invested hope into me, all of a sudden, I stood up straight. I had a voice again, and that's when I started to shine. And so, you know, I think, you know, the great role modeling of my grandfather and his brothers, my elders on community, became a very powerful setting for the rebuilding of my broken young self. And so today, I look at the young people and say, follow the footsteps that I'm walking today, not the footsteps that I walked when I was the same age as you. That, you know, you cannot believe in a dream if you are surrounded by a wall. If you are in a cell, there is no room to breathe life into your dreams. It's a huge part of the work that I do with young men is about building their capacity to believe that anything is possible if you work hard enough. That it's not good enough just to have a dream. Just having a dream doesn't give you, you know, it's the action of creating the goals to get to those dreams that brings things to reality.
Now, your abstract mentions addressing some of the most pressing topics our society faces today. You just mentioned one really that is a scourge on our society, domestic violence. Can you elaborate on which other issues you plan to highlight
yeah.
and how they relate to the conferences?
Incarceration.
Yeah.
You know, that there is a documentary called The Incarceration Nation. That is this nation. It's one of the great blemishes on this country. I've been privileged enough to travel the entire world. There is no place I would rather call home. But tragically, in this country, the prison system is a broken system that if you end up in that system, it is not designed to rebuild you or to rehabilitate you. In fact, what it does is further break you. And, you know, it's a tragedy in this country when we make up 3.5% of the total population of this country, yet we represent 76% of the kids that are in detention. And it doesn't get much better when it goes into adult prison. And then when you look at the women that are being incarcerated, women are the fastest growing rate per capita than any, you know, within Australian prisons. It's a tragedy on this incredibly, you know, so-called lucky country, but not lucky for everyone.
And in the context of the conference, focus on enhancing thinking, learning and creativity across disciplines, how do you believe your background as a musician and artist contributes to innovative problem solving and cross-cultural understanding?
Yeah, I think, you know, the beauty of music and the beauty of art is that you don't need to understand it to feel it. And that is the beautiful part about music. It is an unspoken language whereby we can come from two corners of the world but hear each other's music and feel a connection. And it's one of the biggest things that can create a change is then when, if I can provoke a thought process within the audience that creates a different or an alternate thinking path to some of the things that are pressing our society at the moment, like domestic violence or family violence, or protecting the most vulnerable family members, or the incarceration situation. If collective thought creates collective energy, and collective energy creates collective change. And so that's where I hope to influence through the experience as an artist, the experience as a musician, through the experience as a storyteller, to be able to inspire a change in thought processes, especially around some of the prejudicial systems that keep Australia very much, sort of divided.
You mentioned your work with the youth and men, but I can't help but relate to you winning the Australian Speaker of the Award in 2011. How do you adapt your communication style to effectively engage with the men you work with, the diverse international audiences, and especially at ICOD 2024, how would you adapt that message to really take it home?
I look back on my life that I lived and some of the incredible hardships that I wouldn't wish upon anybody. But I'm glad that I've lived those lives, because the reality is they have made me who I am. They have given me the ability and the tools to navigate the world that I'm walking in, no matter which world it may be. So I'm very comfortable walking into a park and sitting down with people that have found themselves homeless. I'm very comfortable walking into a prison and sitting down with people that are serving sentences. I'm very comfortable standing on a stage with strangers, and I'm very comfortable sitting in a boardroom with senior executives of a tier one business. That as a result of the life that I've lived, it gave me the skills to be able to adapt the language that I need to use to articulate the message. So I'm always changing the way that I speak to ensure that the audience that's in front of me hears and then goes and listens to what I'm actually saying. There's a distinct difference between how you hear something and listen to something. When you listen to something, you feel the message that's in the words.
But I won't hold you much longer. I'll just ask you for closing thoughts, and maybe we can catch up after the conference to learn more about your work and maybe the outcome of the conference.
Absolutely. No, I would love that. And any opportunity to be able to share a continued message through the broadcasting of NITV, I would love to be involved in whatever possible, way. But, I would love to touch base after the conference and share my experience on what my experience was at the conference, the engagement, and how it was received. But, the biggest thing is challenge the version of yourself every day to be a better version. If you can get 1% better every day, that you are on the road to a much better version of yourself.
Jeremy Donovan, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us on NITV Radio today.
Amazing. Thank you, brother.